Now, let us move into our weekly Vent Stay segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. We provide the topics, you provide the polite opinions. Today, we'll be talking about background checks on gun sales proposed by the Oregon legislature and the proposed nuclear deal with Iran. Those phone numbers, that phone number, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Let's start with the Iran agreement, which we're told is only an agreement in principle so far, with many details left to work out between now and the end of June. But there are agreements on limits to centrifuges for enriching uranium for weapons, the dismantling of a nuclear reactor, and an inspections regime. It's the finer points of all of these that still need work and that will take further negotiation. It's not just Iran and the United States. There are five other countries involved here. But getting an agreement that involves both Iran and the United States is remarkable in itself. We've had no diplomatic relations since 1979. The cautious celebration is matched by claims that the deal is awful, many of those coming from Republicans in Congress and the leadership in Israel. Let's hear what you think. Cause for optimism, a basis for moving forward, or a giving away of the farm and Chamberlain-level appeasement? Your thoughts welcome. 800-838-3760 across the region or jx@jeffnet.org. Our other issue, Oregon legislators are moving on background checks for private gun sales, which came up briefly last week. Since that time, a Senate committee passed Senate Bill 941, so a vote in the full Senate is expected soon. A similar measure failed 2 years ago by a single vote. There are more Democrats this time, so the chances of passage are good. If it becomes law, nearly every transfer of a gun between non-related people would require a background check by a licensed gun dealer. California already does this. Chase in Klamath Falls, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
What are you thinking?
Well, the Iran nuclear deal, I think, is ridiculous. I'm prior service Marine Corps, and I feel that any deal with Iran that involves giving them time to create a nuclear weapon in peace is basically a ticking time bomb to any U.S. ally in the Middle Eastern area, particularly Israel. I feel that our president is filling our allies as well as our country by making this deal in the first place, and I don't understand why he refuses to make it in the form that Congress does not have to approve of it.
Well, it's not a treaty, it's an agreement, I guess, is the reason there. But let me ask this then. Do you not buy the argument that at least we get a little time with this? It forestalls Iran being able to work on a nuclear bomb, slows them down?
No, I don't buy that at all. I think it's just a ridiculous notion to give them time, left alone.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what would be the proper approach, do you think?
I think it shouldn't be a deal whatsoever. I think Iran is not a reasonable country to be given that kind of weapon. I think they've proved in the past that they cannot be trusted in smaller issues, and this is a worldwide issue if they have nuclear weapons.
All right, so
I don't
whatever
think it's for anybody.
So whatever it takes, stop Iran from having a nuclear weapon.
Absolutely, unless they can have a long-term history of being peaceful and being open to any of the U.S. and U.N. sanctions that have been put on them in the past.
All right. Thank you for that, Chase. Appreciate the thoughts on that. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're taking your polite ventings on the Iran nuclear deal as proposed and Oregon's legislature moving toward background checks on private gun sales, headed for a full Senate vote probably this week. You're joining us at 800-838-3760 for the discussion or sending emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Dennis in Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yeah, say, I wanted to talk about the gun issue, but I just wanted to make a comment about the last call.
Sure.
I'm a Marine, too, and I think what Obama's doing is exactly the right thing to do. So I guess all Marines aren't the same.
Probably not. It's hard to okay. take all groups and say, hey, they're all the same, but go ahead.
I think this gun law is completely a waste of time, and I'll tell you why. I've been in the shooting sports my whole life. Basically, I started shooting competitively when I was 12 years old, and I've taught gun safety. I've taught for the kids, you know, and hunter's education. I've just been involved in the shooting sports my whole life. And people who are in the shooting sports, we just don't sell our guns to anyone, for one thing, because most of us, the guns we have cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kind of people that are going to buy them are going to have a lot of money. And usually we sell them to people who we know really well, people who are in the shooting sports themselves, belong to shooting clubs, have had probably a lot of training in handling and using firearms. And so, you know, the gun is, or the rifle is always going to a person who knows how to use it and what they're going to do with it. And most of these weapons that people sell nowadays, that's the way they're being sold in private situations. You can't sell them in the newspaper anymore, and you can't sell them on eBay or Craigslist. And so basically, it's just a law without a need, because the people who are going to need guns to do illegal things, they're going to get them however they have to get them. And crazy people who want to kill people are going to do that however they want to do that. They can fly an airplane into the side of a mountain. They can get in their car and drive into a Saturday market and kill a bunch of people that way. You know, crazy people who steal guns from their parents or grandparents or uncle or, you know, and go. Those are unstoppable situations. And so I just don't see any reason for the law. I know it makes people feel good, but none of the gun laws have ever worked. There's more violence in our culture than ever. And when everybody had a gun, nobody was shooting each other hardly ever. And so I'm just totally against it, but probably doesn't do any good.
Well, I just wonder, though, because what I often hear is the idea that even if you stop one person, the law's done its job. Do you subscribe to anything like that?
Well, if you're going to use that logic, we should make it so that nobody can drive, because there's a whole bunch of people out there driving and texting right now, or talking on their cell phone, or they're putting on their eye makeup, or they're lighting up a cigarette, or
eating
doing
cereal
all
over the
these
steering
things
wheel was
are
my
really
favorite.
Terrible and dangerous, and that are going to get somebody, some innocent person killed. And so if you're going to use that logic, even if we're just going to save one person, we should do away with cars right now. By the way, we should probably stop airplane flights too, because there's been a big rash of people flying airplanes into oceans and into hillsides. And let's see, what else?
All right, I think we get the point. Dennis, I very much appreciate your comments now and always. This is Vent Stay on the Jefferson Exchange. We're taking your polite venting on the Iran nuclear deal, whether you think it is good or totally evil or somewhere in between. We're also talking about Oregon moving in the direction of private gun sale background checks. The Oregon Senate is on its way to considering that bill. It has passed out of a Senate committee already. Join us on Vent Stay at 800-838-3760. Anywhere in our listening area, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Tony, near talent, not from talent today. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Well, I'm at home. That's near talent. Anyway, I am on the Iran thing. Just consider the following, and I'm quoting verbatim from the President of the United States in announcing his nuclear framework. This agreement is good for the United States, good for our allies, and good for the safety of the entire world. The deal requires them to freeze their existing nuclear program and to accept international inspections of all existing facilities. The agreement does not rely on trust. Compliance will be certified by the International Atomic Energy Agency. Does that make you feel secure?
What is your point?
Well, the quotation is exact. It's verbatim.
Mm-hmm.
The president I'm quoting is not Obama. It was a direct quote from President Clinton, who on October the 18th, 1994, announced that his administration had reached agreement on a nuclear framework with North Korea. 12 years later, North Korea exploded a nuclear bomb, and today is considered to be close to having about 100 nuclear weapons. As the,
so the confidence of presidents is sometimes misplaced.
Sorry?
The confidence of presidents sometimes misplaced?
Well, I think more. I just subscribe to George Hegel, the famous German philosopher, that nations and governments have never learned anything from history, nor acted upon any lessons they might have drawn from it. On virtually all matters of foreign policy, President Obama has been abysmal. Russia, Ukraine, etc. But in the Middle East, he has been spectacularly wrong. Libya, ousting Gaddafi. Egypt, ousting Mubarak and backing the Muslim Brotherhood. Alienating Israel, totally underestimating ISIS. Remember the JV team? Hailing Yemen as a great counter-terrorism success just before its collapse. Cozying up to Erdogan of Turkey. Leaving Iraq and Afghanistan prematurely. I only hope that the U.S. military, I mean, this shouldn't be the way, because we could just reimpose greater sanctions to get what we need. But this man wants to get into the history books. So I'm only hoping that the U.S. military are working surreptitiously, if not officially, on refining the nuclear EPWs, the earth-penetrating weapons, used to be called nuclear bunker busters, because they're going to be needed.
All right. Your concern is that Obama will go down in history, but for the wrong reasons. Tony, thank you. Always good to talk to you. Nicole in Ashland, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about the Iran deal and background checks on private gun sales.
Good morning. I'd like to comment on the Iranian situation.
Okay, please.
Well, to me, the loose cannon there is Netanyahu. He is really dangerous. He's been overarmed by the U.S. He is totally impervious to any kind of protocol. And he has trapped the Palestinians in this more than horrid situation where he bombs them in their, I mean, they're fenced in and they're bombed. I mean, it's sort of similar to what was done to Native Americans in when the settlers came and during those wars. So to me, he is a dangerous one. And actually, I think all countries should surrender nuclear weapons. They're too dangerous.
In the case of Netanyahu, though, I mean, one of the things that he wishes would be a condition of this agreement is that at least Israel recognize that Iran recognize Israel's right to exist.
Well, that's true, but that's just a lot of talk, too. I mean, anybody can say anything. Does that really mean that they're furious against Israel for what they've done to the Palestinians and things, but does that mean that it's actually a reality?
Well, we will find out. Thanks for the call, Nicole. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jeff in Roseburg. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about the Iran nuclear deal, what you think about that, and also talking about background checks on private gun sales. Already in place in California, now proposed for Oregon once again.
Hello. What I wanted to say was Dennis was very good. And in this gun law, it makes us folks that trade guns and stuff as a hobby into felons for selling a gun to a friend or you know, or someone we know very well. It's having done no criminal act or having, you know, no history of violence, no criminal history at all, and then you're a felon? That's ridiculous.
It's a misdemeanor, I believe, but it could rise to a felony.
No.
Well,
the first offense, if they somehow catch you the first time, it's a Class A misdemeanor with a year in jail and a $6,000 fine. The second time, you're a felon. Your life is ruined. That's ridiculous.
But
and like you said to him, oh, what if it stops one act? That's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, ridiculous in one sense. Let me just get to the nub of this, though. I mean, how much more work is it if you want to sell a gun to a friend to go down to a gun dealer and get the paperwork done?
Okay. First, I work at a gun store.
Mm-hmm.
You take the person to the store. It's a process to check the gun into the store. Now it belongs to the store. Przanski comes up with the idea, well, if it doesn't work, you just give the gun back. No, now the seller has to do a background check. So our store charges $40.
Mm-hmm.
So now giving the gun back to the seller would be another $10 background fee. So it would be $50.
Okay.
So I'm a poor white guy in Southern Oregon, and you're like a poll tax. You're charging me to have my right to purchase a firearm.
All right. Well, let's stand at that. Thanks for the call, Jeff. Appreciate it. Let's go to, Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yes, good morning. I want to make a real quick comparison on the gun registration thing. If you've ever sold or given away a car and it wasn't re-registered, and you get a call that it was involved in an accident, you're to appear in court, or even if it was abandoned and there's an umpteen $100 storage and towing bill, the headaches that can involve, just stop and compare it. A car, liability. A gun, the liability. Enough said.
All right. Thanks for that, Jim. Appreciate it. Jamie in Medford, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Howdy.
A couple of comments about both of the topics. The first one I'd like to say about the Iranian situation is that one only had to look on the news or CNN or whatnot and see that when this agreement was, just touted, the people in Iran themselves were literally celebrating in the streets.
Yes,
and,
they were.
And if anything, what Obama's administration does is it's held the leaders of Iran's feet to the fire with their own people as the firebrand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my comment on that.
Okay.
And secondly, it's like what it sounds to me like with this thing with the guns is like maybe the slippery slope to background checks, because where does one stop? I mean, you start with a gun, and then when that's happening and there's still people killing each other, like, say, with a hunting bow or something like that. I mean, I read in a local newsletter that people were attempting to rob somebody using a hypodermic needle. Are we going to have background checks on hypodermic needles as well? And that's pretty much all I had to say.
All right. Thanks for that, Jamie. Good to talk to you. Let's go to David in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. David, you. David, you're up.
Yeah, hi.
Go ahead.
And when I asked my cousin if he thinks they should have nuclear bombs, he basically, and I don't sound racist, said, have you seen the way we drive? There's no way we can have nuclear bombs. They drive the wrong way on one-way streets down the sidewalk in order to save time. But at the same time, there's a long history of United States intervention in Iran. They had a democratically elected leader named Mossadegh who was overthrown by the CIA. So for us to now come in and say, oh, you can't have a nuclear bomb, you know, there's a much more complicated history than we're making it out.
All right. Thanks for that, David. Appreciate it. A couple more emails here. Mike in Medford writes, Iran is so demonized. People don't even understand that Iranians are more American than Americans. They love their malls, pop culture, and fashion. If they weren't so religious, they would be French. Have people heard of MAD, mutually assured destruction? Nobody nukes anyone unless they want their entire population to die. Pakistan has nukes. If the home of radical Islam, the Taliban, and Al-Qaeda hasn't managed to detonate theirs, why would a less radical, more educated one? That from Mike in Medford. And the final comment here from Bruce in Ashland. He says, regardless of the Iran deal, the Middle East and Africa is heating up. We are headed for another world war. The Islamic fundamentalism reminds me of the Nazis and of Japan before those wars. Unfortunately, we already are involved on both sides, and the making of weapons and distributing them is going to bite us someday. And that'll close out our Vince Day segment for this week.